With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Cam.
And I'm Chris.
You want to say where? Or?
I'm from Degrad. I'm the sales rep for Degrad.
Perfect. All right. Well, this episode, we're going to sit down to a trio of beers from Slackwater Brewing, the newest brewery in Penticton in the Okanagan. So we've got the Nickel Plate Grisette, we've got the Serenity Saison, and the DDH Sour.
And if you haven't already, go back and listen to our other Slackwater Brewing episode.
Yes, exactly, where I interviewed with one of my good friends from Alberta. We interviewed them about the opening of the brewery and kind of the construction process and everything. And they're now open, and it's a really cool space. Really busy, which is a good thing. I guess we probably should just start with the Nickel Plate Grisette. It's 3.8% alcohol. They've got really neat labels, kind of a, this one's got a bit of a tractor on it, kind of the farm feel, which makes sense for a grisette. The Saison has the flowers in a meadow, and then the Sour has some cool ravens or crows flying on it. They are labels that they just write the names of the beers on them, so I don't know if they're labels are for these beers exactly, or if it's just kind of, this fits, let's use this one. But it's a nice start to the brewery, and it's nice to see packaged beer right out the gate.
Yeah, they look great.
Yeah, and the monochrome design really pops too, right?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
You still got a little bit of blue on the label there, or on the lettering, but everything else is...
Are these just in the tasting room right now?
Yes. Yeah, they. I think they're actually filling it off of like a growler station or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's tap house only right now, so you got to head to Penticton and pick up some of their beer. When it opens, I think it's Neighborhood Brewing that's being opened up by Yellow Dog. It's like two doors down.
Oh, nice.
Penticton is the new East Van.
Mm-hmm.
It's seeming like North it a little Van. Bit. Yeah, or North Van, yeah. So it's fairly clear, kind of a straw yellow or something. Small head on it. Pretty fruity nose.
Mm-hmm. Still light.
But yeah, light. Bit grainy.
Yep.
Good body for a 3.8.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a light beer, but
yeah,
still lots of flavor for this low of an alcohol.
Yeah.
Lots of flavor. The malts come through nicely. It's
actually, yeah, the malt builds in the background quite a bit. When I first took the sip, it's kind of a fruity forefront with some kind of grassy notes or something.
Yeah.
And the grisette, it's not a style you see very often, but from the few I've had, this is probably one of the better ones, so...
They're really nice for the summer. easy drinking, but not lacking flavor.
Yeah, beer that'll leave you a little bit more hydrated after you finish it.
Yeah, definitely. Not every beer needs to be 10%. Or even 6.
But just like 80% of them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The everyday beer can be like 10%, and then your every other day...
Those sessionable 10%.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
But I could definitely see myself sitting on a patio drinking this, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah, really dry finish, too. Like, you know, I could drink a lot of that.
Yeah, it leaves you coming back
as
soon as you finish your sip.
You get a little bit of the fruit sweetness up front, but then it just gone.
Yeah.
And it's nice because they have a patio right out front, and then they have a patio on the second floor as well. And the second floor is more just adults only. Whereas downstairs is more like the brew pub, families, and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So you have that separation. They have some pool tables upstairs and stuff, too.
Yeah. And the brewery is, like, right in the middle of the entire thing, isn't
it? It's the former dance floor of the nightclub that was there.
Oh.
Wow. If those walls could talk.
It's a good thing they can't. It was a country nightclub.
Oh, geez. Sawdust on the floor and everything.
Yeah, everyone's cars leaving them, and
yeah.
I can see the brewers wanting to work a lot of like very early shifts, just that if they do screw up, they don't screw up in front of 100 people.
Right? Yeah. Like, do all the dry hopping in the morning.
Yeah.
Hot volcanoes.
Oh yeah.
I always love seeing those videos. Like the, there was one at Fuggles and Warlock. They had a, you know, they've got their, what do they call it again? Their hop torpedo or whatever they usually dry hop with.
Yep.
Yeah.
They decided to do it traditionally once and didn't close the manway fast enough.
Whoopsie.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a great video of that from like a Korean brewery or brew pub or something like that. And, someone serving right off the tank knocked a valve off.
Oh,
and it was just shooting right into the like customer area. But like if you watch the video all the way through for about a minute, like they're trying to cap it off and then you see them just like give up.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like all hope is lost.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There's nothing you can do basically other than put some glasses underneath and try to get some of it.
Yeah.
Salvage what you can.
Someone get a barrel quick.
Run the trough over.
Do we have a cool ship? Referment time.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
That's a really good start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, if a brewery can make a low alcohol beer like this without any flaws that I'm getting, then you're doing a good job.
It's a very clean, enjoyable beer.
Yeah. But I forget where the brewer came from now. I've been told multiple times, and I've just gone blank. But the crew that's opened up the place have a lot of experience in the industry.
Yeah.
So it makes sense they're going to come out of the gates, you know, good things happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things from people, especially that came back from, like, Festive Ales.
Yeah.
Heard a couple of comments of you got to try Slackwater, so... They really do have great branding. I like this, their little icon logo.
Yeah, the logo, yeah.
Yeah, the salmon, I think. Yeah.
That's not a bad logo for having to come up with it last minute, eh?
Yeah. Well, I think the logo might have already been kind of set. It was just the name they had to change.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was Hatchery?
Yeah. Hatchery, yeah. But originally, it was a winery either in the Okanagan or nearby in Washington or something that
I think had it was a similar in the name. States.
Or, yeah. Or one of their wines were named Hatchery or something stupid.
Yeah. It's getting harder and harder to find a good original name. Yeah.
Even when you do all the searches, you still end up getting caught.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Liam and his wife, Kelsey, are two of the main partners. And Liam has all kinds of industry experience. He used to work for the Donnelly Group doing their events. Then he moved over to... Oh, shoot. What's the festival group up in Whistler that also owns a lot of the pubs?
Oh,
Gibson's?
Gibbons.
Gibbons.
He worked for the Gibbons group, and he helped start up the Great Okanagan Beer Festival that's happening up in Kelowna now. He then moved on to Northam Beverages, Whistler Brewing, and all their stuff. So he's got a lot of industry experience now on all ends of it.
Yeah.
And his wife used to work for Central City, I think it was. So, you know, they've got a... They're pulling from a lot of different areas, which is going to make for a really good brewery on all ends.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people that open up breweries, like we all know, don't have that kind of experience. They're a home brewer or something, and I can brew beer, I can open a brewery, and there's a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you have constant events to bring people in, and, like, you got to have some way to get people in the doors other than, hey, we have beer. Because market now, with the amount of competition there is,
anybody
can make beer.
Some people start with a really small tasting room.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. Like tiny, tiny tasting room, like seating for like three.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember walking in one time and having to wait for the person in front of me to finish their beer because they couldn't serve a fourth person.
Thank you for your patience.
It was worth it.
Yeah,
And we are speaking of Daggerhead.
Yeah. We're very glad those days are behind us.
Yes, yes, we all are, because that new tasting room is amazing.
Well, I had heard a tale of a mythical back room area, but that had been shut down, I think, the week before I got there. So.
Yeah, that was when we committed to doing the new tasting room.
Yeah.
It was like, live by the letter of the law at that point.
Yeah, so. You can't play games with the inspectors.
Yes, we've known a couple of breweries that had some issues with that.
Yeah.
One or two.
Maybe one in Abbotsford, maybe one in North Van.
They're all over the place, really. Yeah.
If you ever go by North Paw Brewing,
yep.
You can say hi to our old bar.
Oh, it's
sitting right there in the... last time I was there, it's right in the kind of delivery bay, and they use it for events and that kind of thing. But
nice.
Yeah, went by and I hugged my old friend. Spent a lot of time behind that bar.
Yeah. Yeah, it must seem like a million years ago now.
Yeah, it does. It's, yeah, thankfully.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, let's move into the next one here. This is another lower alcohol beer. This is the Serenity Saison. It's 4.8% alcohol. And I've had this one already. Quite liked it. I sat in front of a waterfall and drank it, and everyone around me was really jealous that I had a beer.
I always find that on hikes is like, either... Like, when I go hiking with my group of buddies, like, our backpacks are usually pretty heavy with beer.
Nice.
And we get about halfway into the hike, and like, oh, we got to lighten this load a little bit. Then we see all these people on the trail passing us, like, that was a good idea. Why didn't we do that?
I usually stick to the one or two beer at the peak or the waterfall or whatever.
Yeah, we're not that disciplined. We also don't do the hikes that you do. So. Yeah.
I do prefer 15, 20, 30K, so it's not good to have a lot of alcohol. This one actually looks very similar. Still a light yellowy straw color, little white head. It's not much lacing. Very mild aroma.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of graininess or something going on.
Yeah.
A little bit of citrus. Maybe a hint of some spices of some sort.
Yeah, I was expecting a little bit more effervescence, but...
That could just be because it's not filled off of the canning machine.
Yeah, yeah, hand canned, I understand.
Yeah. Hey, it's still carbonated, and I'm not...
Oh, yeah.
It's not tasting oxidized to me, at
no.
least. It's actually a little lighter in the flavor than the last one.
Yeah.
You still get that nice spiciness from the Saison yeast.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised how lively it is on the tongue,
mm-hmm.
considering there's not much head.
Yeah, I agree.
On the pour, so yeah, it's still very light for, which is how a saison is supposed to be, right?
Yeah,
yeah. It's got kind of like a lemony, citrusy thing going on with a little bit of the spices. Not a lot though. It's a very mild, not overly sweet. Because some saisons get super bubblegummy sweet sometimes.
Yeah,
and this is not that.
Touch it. Like lemongrass or that kind of, but very, very nice for a saison. It's not overridingly spicy from the yeast.
Yeah.
I find some saisons are a little too yeast character heavy.
Yeah.
But this one, you still get a bit of that malt too. It's nicely balanced.
I actually think the flavor is building a little bit as I sip it. The first couple sips were very light, but. I don't think it's because it's warming up that fast, but it definitely seems to have a little more flavor every sip I take.
Yeah, it's a nice beer. I'm not particularly a fan of like overly floral saisons.
Yep.
So, it's nicely drinkable.
And these are all beers that came from their first batch of beer too.
Okay.
Maybe second, but I'm pretty sure these are all first batch. Which is even more impressive, because that's usually where you make your adjustments.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because even if you're a really experienced brewer, it's still a new system.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's actually been impressive to me about the breweries that have opened recently, that their initial offerings aren't half crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot more experience out there in the industry, and it's really showing, starting to show. So.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it doesn't hurt either that the manufacturers of the equipment are also getting better at it.
Yeah.
They're, you know, learning all the tips and tricks and making equipment that is just easier to use.
Yeah.
Which in turn will make it better beer.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, then there's a lot more of a portfolio of mistakes out there to, everybody in this industry talks to each other.
Yeah, definitely true. So. Yep. What are we up to again? Like, is it 150 breweries now or something in the province?
I think it hit 180.
180?
Yeah, we're closing in on 200. Yeah.
There we go. So there's a lot of mistakes that have been made now.
There have been a lot of mistakes.
Some of them are still around.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, was that my outsized voice?
But again, like, this is not the beer I usually reach for, this style in general, but this is quite drinkable. I enjoy this.
No, like you say, a Saison for me is always a flight beer.
Yep.
It's never, oh, I'll grab one of those to take home.
Unless it says Saison Brett, and then that's a different story for me. I love those ones.
I'm hit or miss on those as well, but I know generally with a Saison, if my wife likes it, it's a good Saison.
Okay. Because
she is very discerning in... For beer, she's very picky. Sours and Saisons are kind of her alley.
Okay.
And this, I can tell just from tasting it, like, she would absolutely love this. And that would be one of the few times I would actually go out and buy it, because I know she would enjoy it.
Yeah. So.
And whenever I can get my wife to drink beer with me is a good night.
Yeah, no doubt.
Most of the time, it's ciders or wine for her, so... Or gin.
At least your beer is safe.
Yeah. Well, most of the time.
Just buy all double IPAs and Imperial Stouts.
Yeah, then it's definitely safe.
Well, speaking of sours.
and dry hopping.
Yes. Even double dry hopping.
How many acronyms can we fit into brewing now? DDH, SIPA.
This is the Sawmill DDH Sour IPA. Hey, there we go. So it's going to have a lot of hops in it.
That's all right.
It's a great thing.
Ooh. I don't know anything about that in beers.
That's got a really nice aroma.
Mm.
So this one was a little cloudier.
It smells fantastic.
Yeah, super juicy, citrusy grapefruit. Mm. But it'd
be nice to know the hop combinations in there, but
Liam, reach out. Yeah, that smells really nice. It's understated, but it's got a really nice, you can tell that it's gonna be sour. It's got that fruity note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First sip, though, it's not overly tart. It's like a fairly gentle sour, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice light treatment to a kettle sour.
Mm.
Yeah, and lots of that citrus hops going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some citra in there, I would assume.
I would too, yeah. Kind of a lemon puckery sour thing going on.
Yeah.
It is juicy, like you said, but it's not the super juicy New England that you're expecting when you say juicy. But yeah, it's definitely got some juicy hops going on. It's the cheater hops.
Yeah. That body is super nice, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, I think this is my favorite of the three, but I mean, that's when you say double dry hopped.
Anything.
It's pretty high on my list, so.
As long as it's well done.
Yes.
It's pretty impressive. A brewery that just opened when these were filled. None of these are stinkers. And they're all pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
And the breadth of styles, too, that mm-hmm. they're doing. I know, like, we've got two kind of farmhouse beers and a sour, but, I mean, on their lineup as well, from what I've seen, they've got a great kind of collage of different styles.
When I was there, they had a Hella's Lager, a Pale Ale, a New England IPA, a Saison, a Grisette, an Amber Ale, and this Sour IPA.
Yeah.
Which is kind of hitting as much as you can, especially in the Okanagan in the summer. You want to have a bunch of easy drinking beers.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't hear was anything kind of a high gravity stout, but I mean, you're not going to do that in the summertime in the Okanagan.
It's been a weird year in the Okanagan, just like everywhere in BC right now, where it hasn't been ultra hot like you'd expect in the Okanagan, and there's been lots of thunderstorms and everything. So it's not as important to have just these kind of beers, but on most summer days in Penticton, it is so hot.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't want to sit out on the patio with an Imperial IPA or a big, huge stout, for the most part. Well, I mean, would still. Yeah,
you and I would.
But the majority of people are going to want lighter, easier drinking beers.
Oh, it just means we have more to look forward to in the wintertime when they bring those styles out.
Well, definitely they... You know, they have to fight right now to keep their lager in stock.
Yeah.
And once the winter hits, they'll be able to play a little more with seasonals and one-offs because they'll have more tank space.
Yeah, of course.
And also, they'll probably end up ordering new tanks if they haven't already because you never have enough tanks when you start.
No. Never.
Yeah. And they were blessed with enough space to put more tanks in.
That's key.
This is probably one of those breweries that'll like really surprise you in 6 months because they did actually brew a stout, but it's just in barrels and they're not going to talk about it. For, like,
A lot of their barrels are wine barrels because of the Okanagan. So I'm thinking you're probably going to see a lot more like sours and Brett's and Saisons and stuff in barrels, I would guess.
Yeah.
Just because that's kind of stuff that plays a little better with wine.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
You never know when they might come out of left field on you.
That is true. And I mean, there are distilleries up there too, right? So
yeah,
I think they're you know, they're trying as much as they can to stay local. And they're not going out of their way to do it, but you might as well. If you've got a wine country like that.
There's nothing wrong with a wine barrel.
No.
My favorite beer ever is aged in a wine barrel. So.
Oh, nice. There you go. Yeah. I just think you just throw the wine out, keep the barrel.
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
I mean, like you said, like trying to keep everything local. It never hurts to ask, right? You go to the winery and say, hey, got any extra barrels? Maybe we can help each other out here. Like,
and by that, you mean buy the barrels off them?
Yeah.
So I see you've got a bunch of wood waste in the parking lot.
I hope it doesn't make it out to the parking lot. It might be pretty toast by then.
As much as I know you'd love to sell this to somebody so they can make a Pinterest craft, I've got a better idea.
Exactly. We'll sell it to them later.
Yeah. After we put beer in it.
A couple times, and then wild beer, and then get rid of it.
And then maybe you can cut us a discount, and we can pay you back in beer. I've worked it all out, guys. I'm sure it's that easy.
Of course.
I just got a big eye roll from Chris.
Got a master plan here.
All right, for the next beer, we've got a homebrew from Cam. So he's going to explain what this is.
So this was a collaboration I did with Bruce Godin out in Chilliwack, the hop master, as I call him. All he makes are hazy beers, and he know, like, blending hops is his expertise. So this one is a hazy Northeast IPA. This version is with... Kvike, however you want to pronounce it. Yeast, Loki strain.
Norwegian yeast.
Yeah, the Loki strain. I call it Fafnir's Gold.
Nice.
7% alcohol. We've got Citra, Vic Secret, and Denali with a touch of Idaho 7.
Wow.
And I'm super happy with how it turned out. We actually got a little bit of carbonation from the crack of the growler, so that's a good sign.
But it's not volcanoing, which is also a good sign.
I filled it this morning, so hopefully we're all good here. And just help yourself, and we'll pass her around. Sure. This is
the one where you can be nasty. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, if you want. But
hey, you got a nice head, great lacing on that.
Yeah. I'm actually quite happy with how this turned out. This is probably the best beer I've homebrewed.
And it actually is murky. Like, there's commercial breweries that put out New England IPAs that aren't this hazy.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, and a lot of that is Bruce. He puts tons of time and research into every one of his beers. And, like, he would be the perfect German brewer. Because he makes one style.
Yeah.
And he says, why would I do another style until I've perfected this one? But his thing is hazy beer, so.
It's got tons of fruit notes. Like, kind of tropical, citrusy.
Yeah.
Like pineapple.
Yeah, that's exactly what we were going for with the hop blend. Was, like, pineapple is one of my favorite juices. So, we're like, Denali had to be in there.
Yeah. Maybe a little mango, too.
And then Citra and Vic Secret. Well, Vic Secret is Bruce's go-to. Citra, I mean, it's Citra. And then I wanted to use the Kvik yeast to kind of curtail that sweetness.
Yeah.
And give it a little bit of funk on the end, which I think came through nicely.
And then you can also ferment it as hot as you want.
I fermented at 20, and I actually underpitched the yeast, so I only put in a tablespoon.
Yeah.
To ferment what kind, like, for what size batch?
5 gallons.
Oh, wow.
So.
Love that yeast.
Yeah, it was the first time I've used it, and I'm probably going to use it for a lot of things.
Yeah, it's got a lot of that, like, pineapple-y and fruit punch going on in the flavor. It's got a little bit of resin. Not really any bitterness per se. It's got that the kind of green that you get from these huge, huge dry hop bombs.
Yeah, for sure.
There were 3 dry hops for this while it was in the carboy.
So. We beat the DDH.
Yeah.
DDDH. No.
TDH. But yeah, I'm kind of hoping it mellows out a little bit from that greenness over time.
Yeah.
But I am super happy with how it turned out.
Still, even being that green, like, there's not that hot burn.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not hot.
I've started to experience that with some hazies that, like, it just hurts my throat.
Yeah. I still love them, but yeah, sometimes it's just like, this is great, but I'm also getting heartburn and it's not sour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well,
this could really sit nicely with a lot of commercial.
Yeah, definitely.
Versions of this style.
So yeah, we're...
It's better than some commercial versions of this style.
Yeah. We're both... Bruce and I are both quite proud of it. And, like, I know Bruce's version, he used the juice yeast, England 03, I think? English 03?
Yeah.
And so his turned out a little bit sweeter.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like his as bitter as I like mine, so...
Yeah.
Well, you could always just throw some lactose in there and you bring the sweetness up.
Is there oats or wheat or...?
There's a little bit of oats. No wheat at all.
Yeah.
I've got the recipe here.
I'm just amazed that,
actually,
like...
Actually, I can pull it up.
But there's that much in suspension with...
Especially for a 5 gallon batch.
For a 5 gallon batch, but also using the 10 gallon batch
that we split.
Oh, okay. But there you go. 10 gallon batch. Still, I mean, it's not an easy beer to keep in suspension.
But the Kvik yeast isn't known for keeping things in suspension either, right? Like,
it seems to be like there's that... What did you say this one was? The what blend or what version?
Loki.
The Loki version seems to keep more of it in suspension.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are starting to use that for hazies now.
Okay.
They're not usually as murky as the Conan or whatever they're calling the strain now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, traditional New England. I think they changed the name. I think they had to.
You think Conan O'Brien sued them? Or?
Maybe. I don't know. The one thing I love about this yeast in general, though, is... I think if I'm remembering right, the 5th anniversary beer from Torchlight in Nelson did Kvik yeast, and they were fermenting it at like 30 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like when it was fermenting, boiling out at 30 degrees, it was hot to the touch on the Manway.
Yeah.
It was just like, feel this. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. So here's our grains. We've got classic two row, of course. We've got malted naked oats, golden naked oats, and German chit.
Some German shit in there, huh? Yeah. You could have named it something else.
Chit. C-H-I-T.
Shies. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, that's it's new to me, but
yeah.
I don't spend a whole lot of time around German
beers.
So.
German chit and a bunch of naked oats. I don't know. Beer sounds a little scary.
But it tastes damn good.
It does, yes.
And Loki romping all through it.
Sounds like something you would do.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm definitely impressed with this. It's much better than the homebrew that I did, which was still decent. I remember bringing it to Evan Doan's house, and other than the fact that it sprayed their ceiling, it was so overcarbonated. They all did like it. It just, you know, it was a homebrew, but there wasn't any obvious off flavors. It just was kind of homebrewy.
Yeah. My very first batch of homebrew, I brought a bottle, one of the House Sound 1 liter.
Yep, that's bottles, what it was. Yeah.
Over to my buddy's house, and I think I was out and about for like 6 hours that day, and it was in my backpack the entire time,
shaking up,
just totally. And I get to his house, and I'm like, "Yeah, you gotta try this beer that I made." And I pop the swing top on it, and yeah, just geysered right to the roof. Well, you can drink a quarter of this.
Yeah.
At least it was a liter bottle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got 750 milliliters to waste.
Yeah.
All over his floor. Sorry, bud.
I managed to carry or catch a bunch of the beer in a vase that was empty on the table.
Like, ah! See, that's quick thinking.
It's a good thing there was nothing in it. Because I was doing it regardless. And his wife didn't kill me, so that's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's the least you could ask for.
So. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, we know we like the homebrew, but do we have a favorite of the three beers from Slackwater?
To me, the sour.
The sour IPA?
Yeah, just great aroma, awesome body, and just that's one that I could just drink.
Definitely.
I enjoyed all three. I would probably go with the double dry hop sour as well, because it was kind of their most unique offering that, I found. The mix of hops in that really played well with the kettle souring. So, we're going to have to vote that too.
I think I'm going to break my own rules usually, because I think I'm going to actually go with the Grisette, and only because I don't really enjoy a lot of really low alcohol beers, because usually they're low flavor.
Yeah.
And this thing still had a bunch of flavor. I mean, it's not a huge flavor, but it had a lot of flavor. It was really enjoyable flavor. And I could probably sit down to a ton of these.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go with that one, which is totally against what I usually drink, which is higher alcohol beers, a big, big flavor.
Yeah.
But I really like that one.
Hmm.
And when it happens, you got to admit it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I'm definitely excited to try more of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little bummed out because I almost drove by the brewery on the weekend. We ran late. I was in Kelowna. We ran late, so we didn't end up going down to Penticton first.
Yeah.
But he was going to get us some more beers. Yeah. I just couldn't make it down there. It happens.
Next time.
Yes, I'm in the Okanagan lot, so it'll happen again.
Well, next time I'm up there, I'm definitely stopping in.
Yeah.
I haven't. Like, these are the first three I've had from them, and if this is how they're starting, it's a damn good start. And
yeah.
Super impressive.
Yeah. And as much as I don't like their, like, a Hell's Lager or whatever, and I tried it, and to me it's boring, but it's crisp, it's clean, there's nothing wrong with it, there's no off flavors. To start with a low flavor lager and do it right, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I mean, a lot of breweries didn't make any lagers for decades.
Well, the lager,
some still haven't.
And I enjoy that.
Lager's a scary thing, right? Because you got nowhere to hide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, unless you're doing it right.
Yeah. Oh, shit, there's an off flavor here. Let's make this an IPL.
Or it's supposed to taste like green apple.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, let's we'll finish this episode off. Before we finish it off, shout out to our Patreon supporters, Indie Beer Show, Liz from Hop Bower, and Steve. If you want to support us on Patreon and help us upgrade the equipment and just make the show better, go to patreon.com/Pacific Beer Chat. Thanks.
Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.